Well, to begin us, I want to read from the end of Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. Lord, what a glorious description of the church birthed at Pentecost through the gospel of Jesus. And Lord, there are things here that thrill our hearts to think of the reality that who we are and what we are is because of the gospel, and that this is a description in many ways of the evidence of your presence with us in these 17 years. So please help us as we want to honor and glorify you for the work that you have done and continue to do among us, and help us just as we reflect back on this year, Lord, that we would be humbled, we'd be thankful, and we would be yet more desirous and deeply passionate for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we want this to be more than a business meeting, but a reflection on what God has done in the last year. I'm going to keep this part fairly short because I didn't gather all the statistical data as far as babies born and baptisms and all that kind of stuff. Some of that's getting... I'm with Paul when Paul says, you know, I can't even remember who of you I baptized. And it's similar. But as I just reflect on this past year... First of all, and I used to do this as well. I used to just kind of lay out categories of people to thank. And this year I'm not going to do that. But if you do anything here, thank you. That way I don't leave out anybody. But it has gotten the point of being overwhelming, just what people do and the things that are done that I don't even know about, and the things that we don't know about, and the ministries that take place, and the prayers and the phone calls and emails and sitting out in the eating area when somebody's going through tough things, just whatever it may be, musical stuff and nursery and childcare and just the whole thing. I hope it doesn't sound ungrateful to say just thank you everybody rather than trying to name everybody, because inevitably I'll forget somebody, and I am deeply, deeply grateful, and just see it as the evidence of the Lord's presence. So, again, if you do anything at any capacity, thank you. Thank you so much. Second thing I want to do is just point out that we, in the last year, you know, when people ask me how our church is doing or what's going on, it's like everything else in life. There are things that you're really, really grateful for and you're encouraged by. And we have many, many things to be thankful for: the baptisms, the professions of faith, reconciliation, healings, people who've gone through some very dark things and come out, and you know, it's the hardships of seeing one of our families blow apart last year, and all that happened there with a family a little over a year ago. So some hard things over the year, but there are also so many good things. There's so many things to be thankful for, so many things to praise the Lord for and what He's doing. And so it's just life, isn't it? It is life as Christians to see both present sufferings and difficulties, but also to see the evidence of God's grace. And so as I reflect back on this year, there are just so many things to be thankful for. So that we rejoice with those who rejoice, but there are also things that are very, very hard that people are still going through, so that we weep with those who weep. And so what I see from all that is, again, an evidence of the Lord's presence. The fact that some of us are still here, the fact that we who are still Christians are still Christians, is an evidence of God's grace. If it were not for God's grace, I would not be a Christian any longer. I promise you that. If I was left to my heart, if it was not for God's preserving grace. And isn't that true of all of us? Again, just so many things to be thankful for, but realizing that we're some people among us are in very, very deep, difficult circumstances. As I've reflected back on the last year, just as far as public ministry, there's been an influx, and this doesn't really mean much of anything, I don't think, but we've had a large contingency as far as foreign countries who listen to the ministries here. Germany has been a really big hit this year. So I don't know what that means, but Germany has been downloading a lot of the sermons and ministries, I mean, like far more than any other country. So you might get Tanzania, one, you know, or you get Finland, one, and then Germany has hundreds of downloads. So I don't know if some guy's just obsessed with... Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. That's right. I forgot about that. So he's doing his job on the other end, something. In Tennessee, of course, not unexpectedly, is usually at the top. We had a influx a couple months ago where some unusual state, suddenly there was a surge. But anyway, so that's just to let you know, there are typically between 1,000 and 1,400 sermons downloaded through Sermon Audio a month. And that's been pretty steady through the years, but that's some of that's of course internal, and that's just downloads. I didn't remember to look at the statistics for the videos. We've added all the videos over the last, what was that, a year and a half, 2 years ago we did that, Tony. You did that. So sermon audio still seems to be the way that a lot of people are finding out about us. The website continues to serve us well, and over the years, I've thought about, should we change our name to something different? And we continue to get feedback, just even the visitors today. How did you find us? And I said to one of the guys, I said, did you type church, creepy old hospital? Is that how you found us? He said, that would have been my number two. But it happens to be Reformed Baptist. So as much culturally as we are somewhat disconnected from other Reformed Baptist churches and the changes that we've made, things like that, it still seems to be a helpful thing as far as people finding us. So that is what it is. But the website continues to be the major way that people are finding us and even listening ahead of time and finding out if this is something they want to get themselves into. So those continue to be a couple of things the Lord uses. Believe it or not, we finished earlier last year Exodus, that they may know He is the Lord. Continued through the confession. We took that break for expository reading that I entitled Rightly Handling the Word. I began 1 Corinthians last year, began the series recently on the church and community, and then took our break for Advent in the book of Isaiah. So those were the bulks of the ministry. We had several men sat in for us and did just superb jobs. We'll hopefully get them in the pulpit again soon, thinking of Tony in Revelation and Tyler. Rob Jones also sat in last year, John Wheeler, and others that came for us did an excellent job. So thankful for those. We had our first Women's Sunday School breakout class that went well. We'll be doing that, I think, again soon. Has Amy decided where she's going? No idea? Okay. Okay. She suggested several that she was maybe going to go through. I'm thinking about Daniel after 1 Corinthians, so you can give me some feedback on that. But going to an Old Testament narrative again that I've not been to in a while, and then thinking about what it means living as exiles in the kingdom. I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel give us kind of a good idea of what it means to live in a foreign culture and politically and all that stuff. So that's what I'm thinking about right now. So that's what's happened in the public ministries. Regarding missions and outreach, we've continued Chippington, and please be in prayer for that, because as we reshift with some of the things going on with community group, I think that's one of the things that Chippington would benefit from, is having local people to serve there. That can do work relationally and that kind of thing. And so we need to figure out if we're going to continue that, and if we do, what shape and form that's going to take, and whether the Madison group would be the obvious caretakers of that. We also had the Martinez family, and that was both exciting and hard and difficult to send them back. And yet we had our first vacation Bible school because of them. To some who couldn't even communicate with, so they were just just a delight. My last contact with them was, I think, 2 weeks ago, and he sent me some lovely pictures of their first meeting with several families that got together for, I believe it was the Lord's Day worship, and they're doing probably a church planting work up in the mountains of Colombia, and just a beautiful, beautiful setting. So just had that experience of having them with us for a good part of last year. Then we also got further introduced and embedded in the lives of the farmers and vice versa, and became their home sending church. And we'll be sending out some updates through the prayer request. If you're not on their email list or on their Facebook, you can get all of the same updates that we're getting. But they did get a vehicle, which was an amazing, amazing feat of the Lord with the whole situation that went there. They're in a house now. They get a new toilet, right? So, yes. So that is going well. Have you spoken recently? Any more personal update? Yes, yes.
And those are very rare.
Good. Now, if you look at the pictures, at least in my version, in the email, they look very pixelated. If you click on them, they're high resolution. They're really nice to see. Ryan also had the idea, and I thought this was great, of one of the community groups including them in the care group, in the community group. I thought, that's a brilliant idea. So we can fight over them if you want. And Goodlettsville, okay. That's who you said, wasn't it? Okay. All right. Well, settled. If not, take it outside. So, okay. So I think it's excellent. What an excellent idea. Yeah. Ryan was busting on me because they weren't on the map that I showed this morning. So, I did the best I could. Went to Zambia last year, didn't I? I think I taught at the two colleges. Will not be going this year. I'm taking a year off. Probably going to go back next year, but was able to teach in Lusaka and the Copper Belt. Was able to be a part of that. We continue. We just got a ministry report through Louisville. We give to the Zambian ministries through the Louisville Church, and we got a nice write-up on what happened to that money this past year. Continue to work with church planners and educate theological education for pastors and the care of orphans and widows. So that continues to happen. Our own Emily got to go. There you are. Got to go and stay with the Mulengas and experience Zambia. And I understand, is it a secret? Well, I was looking vaguely. Not vaguely enough, right? But the Platners are going to Zambia as a family. Isn't that right? Yeah. For 2 weeks. Oh. Oh, we were going to send you off. For 2 weeks to spend time there. And again, it's Lusaka, the capital city. Yes, sir.
I have contact with Lloyd. Yeah. Something tells me for sure that Zambia is not the only
place. Oh, dear. Oh, Priscilla does.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Would somebody pray for her right now? Volunteers? Yeah, okay. Amen. Thank you, Julie. Okay, so What you will not see on this list, we've supported through the end of the year ministry in Haiti. Through some contacts I had, I found out that that particular ministry was well-funded, and so we started using that fund, those funds to be an initial support for the farmers. That's why you won't see them from here on out. But we continue in also in China with Andy and Rebecca Hamilton that we've been supporting as long as we've been as a church. Before we go further, one of the things we want to do is beef up our awareness of our mission outreach. We want to do that through the community groups, through our prayers, to get more hearty, substantive things that we can be praying and work that in. And so John and Eric have been kind of been assigned as elders to pursue that leg of what we do, that arm of missions, and try to get some more communications for us so we can pray more intelligently for them. So Andy and Rebecca continue to be in China, and Lord is just using them in remarkable ways, and also in Nepal and some other places. So going on trips, training leaders, helping children out of particularly Tibetan backgrounds, orphans, bringing them down off mountains, just incredibly destitute kids that they're bringing in and helping. And the last one you'll see is the Philippines. We continue to support Christian Compassion Ministries in Cabal in the Philippines on the main island of Luzon. And we'll try to beef up again the communication with that. I've kind of slacked off on keeping us up to date on that. So for those of you who are newer among us, Glenn will tell us and point out we have a significant portion of our, though it's not in the forefront always of our thinking, it certainly is in our giving, and we'll let Glenn present that in a minute. But our theory is to support a few more heartily than, having 20 missionaries and giving them each $20 a month or something like that. Our desire is to have a few that we can really know and have relationships with over time. And then you know about the things going on with the community groups. That's a new chapter we're moving into, and taught on that this morning. So, year in review, did I miss anything? Anything I need to say? I wanted to give these guys enough time, and not, you've heard me enough today. So, is that okay? All right. So, I don't know that I'll be up here again, but I love you. I'm thankful for you. I can't believe God has me here among you. And that means good. That's a good, in a good way. that could be taken either way, couldn't it? But I just am amazed. I'm so thankful to be here among you, and thankful for every single one of you. All right, so hand it over to Glenn.
First year taking over for Randy after, 12 or 15 years of doing the budget and being treasurer, very faithfully serving the church. So this is new for me. So as they're finishing handing those out, I'll just sort of make an introductory comment about the way we budget here. It probably comes as no surprise that we tend to budget conservatively, that we do not figure out how much money we need and then throw that money for a 15 or 20% increase in giving and say, God, we have faith you're going to provide this for us. We tend to figure out what we spent over the last, or how much we've had coming in over the last year and a half, and budget accordingly. But that doesn't mean that we are strictly tied to that number. If there are unusual opportunities to further the cause of the gospel, we may budget expenses which exceed our estimated income for that particular year. If you look at this one, the one with the really tiny print and many lines, this is showing the actual financial results over the last 15 years, 2001 being on the far right-hand side, and over on the left we have the 2016 budget. And you can see that in 2010, 2011, if you go all the way down to the bottom, overall total, that shows either the surplus or the deficit for that year. And in 2010, we were $18,651, had more expenses than income, $12,896 the next year. And those are actual numbers. In 2012 and 2013, I know we budgeted $22,000 or $23,000 worth of deficit. And the reason we did that, as you go up in 2010 on line 21. You can see we had an opportunity to support the Williamsons in Zambia. And so we budgeted $12,000 in there. It was an unusual opportunity. And in line 12 for Hope Community Church, starting in 2011, we started supporting Jeremy Meeks and the work out there. So with the opportunity to either plant churches or to support missionaries, we budgeted in the deficit for those years. So I say that as we come to look at the other document, and this shows the 2015 budget, the 2015 actual, actually the actual is on the far left, the budget's the column next to that, and the difference between the two, and as you move further right, you're going to see the 2016 budget versus the 2015 budget. So that second column, the 2015 budget, you can see that we budgeted all the way down, the overall total, line 50, a $17,490 deficit for the year. And the reason for that is line 9, the Martinez's. That in January of last year, the Martinez's came to America to religious workers to try and obtain an R1 visa. Originally, they were going to be working with Jeremy's church, and then as we investigated it, they were already here. We investigated it some more, and there was no way they were going to be able to support them and be the supporting church. And so they turned to us, and Stephen has mentioned many times in the past that when we have had great ideas that we're going to do certain things, certain projects, certain outreaches, they haven't really amounted to much. And yet when God has providentially plopped things in our lap, and Hope Community Church being one of them, they seem to have thrived. And so we looked at the Martinez's being here as perhaps one of those providential occurrences. And there was a desire on our part to reach out to the Spanish-speaking people in Madison and the Nashville area. So we put a budget line in here to support the Martinez's. Ultimately, it didn't work, but that's what it was there for. And you can see that we actually spent all the money we budgeted plus some more. And the difference is that there were some legal fees in there. In order to be the sponsoring church for them, we had to apply to become an officially government-recognized 501c3 tax-exempt organization. We had to pay immigration attorneys certain things. So that's what that was. And so that was the budget that we had estimated a $17,000 deficit, but you can see in the actuals right next to it, we ended up with a $13,744 surplus. And that despite the fact that our expenses exceeded our budget by $17,000. So we thought we'd have a huge deficit. We spent more than we thought we would, and the Lord blessed. You can see in line 2, the total tithes, we exceeded our budget by $46,000. So God was very good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yep. Let's see. Let's look at the 2016 budget. That is line almost all the way over to the right-hand side, and certain differences that you might notice there. Stephen mentioned that Haiti, line 12, we're no longer going to be supporting. But we are going to start supporting Cambodia. In the past, our giving to Haiti and China and Zambia has been 10% of our tithes. So as our tithes go up, our giving to these missions go up. We are eliminating Haiti and their 2%, but we are adding Cambodia and we are making it 4%. So it will be 12% of our tithes. As the sending church of the farmers, we wanted to be more than just replace Haiti with Cambodia and to give more. So you'll notice that on there. There is a line for line 10. There is a mission trip. You can see we budgeted $3,000. And Stephen told you that he is not heading to Zambia this year. We budgeted money there in case there's a need for one or more pastors to go to Cambodia for some reason. If something happens out there and they need pastoral oversight, that is right there, face-to-face, we want that to be available for them. So that's why that line item is there. Let's see, line 24 is a new line item for us. It's called Child Safety. We have not had that in the past. For the last several years, the elders and deacons have been talking about the issue of child safety within the church. We've all heard of different issues that can happen within churches and within schools or anywhere else where adults or other children can take advantage of opportunities and really harm other children, particularly sexual kind of situations. So we started looking into policies and procedures a couple of years ago and started to draft some of those, look at opportunities to do that. I know that Eric had designed nursery safety rules, and we've had those out there. I think we're slacking a little bit in following them. And they came up again because there was an incident in Brentwood with a fairly sizable church very recently where they had a problem. And one of the things that they're being sued for is the fact that they had policies, but they weren't following them. So we have been taking that matter up again in our discussions with greater vigor and pursuing training materials, not just for nursery workers, but really kind of for the whole church. What we're finding out is that the heart of the matter is not having background checks, or it's not having the right policies in place, but really having a culture and environment that's aware of the risks and that is alert to those risks. And that is the best protection that we can have. So in the coming, hopefully, 90 days, we'll probably be rolling out something where we'll have particularly those who deal with children in the nursery, Sunday school, but probably almost every family will be watching some training materials, some videos online, and then we'll be rolling. Once there's a greater understanding of the issues and what we're trying to get at, then we'll present the policies and procedures, which hopefully will resonate better and will make more sense to everyone. So we set aside some money for that. That's what the line item is for. What else? We have on line 38, women's and men's retreat and or men's retreat. We haven't had a women's retreat since 2013, I believe. And I think that was well received when it happened back then. And we have some money this year, so I'd like to set aside some money for that or for a men's and women's retreat. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but at least put that out there as a possibility if people have ideas or would like to pursue that. Line 41 is something new. That is within Stephen's compensation disability insurance. We recognize that a lot of us with our own businesses, they provide long-term disability insurance. And this is something that's very important. And we've had Marvin who went in, you remember, for a surgery. He thought he was coming out, and he was disabled from then on until he passed away. We've had other people that we've known who end up with, think they're perfectly healthy and get sick, and they're not able to work after that. So we know that Stephen needs to be protected, his family needs to be protected in that. So we've done some investigation and talked to insurers, and have you pursued that yet with Joe Garrisey to actually get that lined up, the policy? Okay, Kimberly knows. Ask her about that. Yes. So we're going to be giving some money to help make sure that they can have long-term disability insurance. What else? A lot of these, there's been some changes in categories just to help me know where to file them better, and some of the elders wanted things broken down more. So where we used to have pastoral conferences, it's been broken down to pastoral activities, meals, a pastoral retreat, just so we can keep track of those things a little more cleanly. Let's see. At the bottom of the page, you can see that we have balances in our checking account, in our money market account, a fairly significant balance, which led some of my deacons to question, is this not going to be a disincentive for people to give? Why does the church need my money? Why should I continue giving to the church if you have all this money in your savings account? Why is it important? Well, it's important for a lot of those ministries that Stephen talked about, whether we are working at Chippington, providing the meals for them, whether it's the missions that go to Zambia, now to Cambodia, that's all significantly impacted by your giving. Even if you look at the cost for IBLP, that's this place right here, rent here, $32,400. I don't give $32,400 a year. There's nobody in this church who gives $32,000 a year just so we can have a place to store our stuff and keep the lights on. It's costly to do business. It's costly to have a place and then to support ministries. What else? And I look at what happened earlier this year in September when we had an opportunity to possibly buy a building. There was a church that came up for sale. We ultimately didn't buy it because there were some legal hassles, some restrictions on the deed that prevented us from doing it. But it was an opportunity that we could seize because we had money in our savings account. So it's good that we have that, but it doesn't mean we don't need continued giving. It is your giving month to month for very little or very much that we put together, and it adds up to what we're able to do here in the budget. The other thing I would say is there's this little note down here that says future. Some of the ideas that we might like to do coming up that we can't do right now. Stephen would like to do internships, be able to train other young men for the ministry. And so that would be something we'd like to do. There may well be building expenses. Ben is going to talk about what our options are for staying here or going to a different place, but there may be needs for us to build out a facility. And it would be great if we had a second full-time elder. Stephen was talking about how he feels stretched thin. Even though we have other elders, he's the only one who's full-time, who's counseling, who is preparing for to preach and to teach on a regular basis. So those are things we'd love to be able to do in the future. What else? I think that's about all I have. There's a fair number of changes on here. Oh, I also wanted to point out among the things that we do. I was looking at this this other page here, this big one, and it struck me, if you look at the 2001, 2002, 2003, line one, there was giving by RBC Louisville. This was our planting church, and they supported us with $15,000 a year most years to help get things going here. And I want you to look at line 12 for Hope Community Church. And we are providing $22,000, $27,000, $29,000 a year in supporting that work out in West Nashville. That's significant. That's astounding that we were able to do that. And we had a report from Jeremy just a month or two ago. And he's been very active. Not only with Simeon Trust, not only within his own church and shepherding, pastoring there, but he's had a lot of interest and influx of young people, of folks from Lipscomb College, and he's now going out, what is it, two times a week to meet with young men out there. And they are not only meeting with him on Lipscomb, they're starting to come, and they're starting to give. And financially, Hope Community Church, their budget for 2015 was an income of $55,000. They had an actual income of $90,000, which is astonishing. So one of the other things you'll note here on our budget for 2016, there's a reduction of giving to Hope Community Church. They are planning to wean themselves off of our help. They're taking $4,500 off of our budget for this coming year and hope to reduce that significantly in the next several years. So I just wanted to note that the giving that you're doing is doing great work, and those are significant amounts that we're giving to Zambia and to all these places. Yes?
I just wanted to make the point that, you know, it was, as you presented it to us, that why would we want to keep giving because we have all this money in the bank?
Yeah.
But really, the scriptures don't speak to how much money you have in the bank. It's a blessing to be able to give.
It is.
And we want to do it regardless of if there's money in
the bank. Right.
Or whatever. I mean, apart from the need there, the Lord might be preparing us for great works.
Right. I would agree. It's definitely good for us. It's a blessing to be able to give, regardless of the amount of money in the bank. And if we have money in the bank, we have the option of running at a deficit if there are opportunities to do so. Are there questions? I mean, there's a lot of different categories, a lot of different numbers on here. Does anybody have questions on this? I wouldn't be surprised if there were. Okay.
Where's the 2015 rent?
The 2015 rent. It is listed under line 16. It is called IDLP. The owner of this building is the Institute for Basic Life Principles or something like that. So they own it. So, yeah, it's $32,400 a year we're paying.
That includes the red carpet.
It does, yes. And the semi-working heat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great job, Glenn. Thank you for presenting and managing all of that. It delights me, as someone who's been here from the beginning, just to see the amount of money the Lord has graciously provided, but also the amount of money that this church gives. To be able to be a church of this size and be able to spend $64,000 to support church planting, to support ministries around the world, ministries in difficult countries. That is a great encouragement. And I had been a part of some churches. They'd have some missions giving, and if a building program came along, that would could be trimmed. And that's been the heart here from the beginning of giving to God's work around the world. And also, as Glenn mentioned, we have made decisions where we felt like there was a kingdom need or a kingdom opportunity that merited us. We call it deficit spending, but it means we're spending out of savings, not out of our income. And I appreciate the giving and the heart of the people here to do that, to say they're are things that we want to invest in now, and we're willing to take money out of savings to do that. So thank you to all of you. And praise be to God. Praise be to God for being so gracious to this small work. So just a few things regarding building. I think the first point is we're so thankful for the growth the Lord has given. It is a delightful problem to try and figure out how to seat everybody and have tables ready in the lunchroom if we fill it up. Those are sweet things to work through. So a couple of updates just on the Embassy Center, JECA. And also the land that we own. There's several things that are going on here, and Glenn already left, and I guess Steve is looking at it as well. So there's some immediate things that we're looking at. We're looking at if we need to reconfigure this room, and our deacons have done a really good job of even giving us a visual representation of if we flipped the room and had the pulpit on that side and could use this for seating. We've also had discussions with the people on the building about knocking out about 15 feet of the wall where this door is and opening up that if we stay in this configuration so that we can extend seating into the big room, which I think also has red carpet and maybe a little tile. So there's some things like that, that we are looking at, and the deacons in particular are looking at. There is also some, there's much larger space that's finished upstairs. And there have been some discussions with the owners to see if the space upstairs could accommodate us. And in the past, the space would have swallowed us. I mean, it was really big, and it still has red carpet. I think it may even be brighter than this. So those are some of the things that are being looked at, and I think the men stepped out because there's a small church that meets in one of the spaces, until 2, but I think they're doing some measurements to see what that would look like. And so as best we can, we're trying to look at all options to utilize this space to accommodate everyone and also so that people come in late or visitors come, that there's a place for people to sit. And that's very important. We have plenty of parking, so that's a great thing. We just need to have room for people to worship with us. The land. We listed our land for sale sometime last year. I don't remember exactly. Christina knows. It sat idly by. We did receive an offer on it and at our asking price. And then it kind of got quiet, and then they asked for an extension, which we granted. We'll see what happens with that. But we would be very glad if that land was able to be sold. And spring's coming up, so if this current buyer doesn't buy it, I guess Christina can have an open house or open land or whatever you do for people to take their chainsaws and whack through the woods to see the property. So anyhow, there may be something coming about on that where we say it's sold or maybe not, but we would be excited if that happened. The reason we did that is just when we looked at what it would take to build that out, probably 10 years ago, a very modest entry point was going to be $500,000 to $600,000, if I remember right. And that was accommodating something much smaller than what we have. And a lot of that requirement is codes, and you have to have drainage, and you have to have all kinds of special landscaping and things like that. We would be glad if the Lord wanted to do something different, but we, at this juncture, just didn't think we would be breaking ground and building something that we could move into anytime soon. And we've had that land quite a while. And if it sells, it'll sell at a profit. So we'll see. So that's a quick update there. So any questions on any of that? Nope. Okay. And then the last option is we are very, very thankful for our friends at JECA. And really love the folks that we get to work with, some of whom worship with us regularly and others not. And so after the 4022 Whites Creek property, after that just reached a point where we could not move forward, we took just a little time off, and then we discussed a lot of these options as elders and deacons in January at our meeting, and wanted to renew the discussions with JECA. Late last year, they had given us a preliminary land use or building use agreement where we would remodel a portion of their building that they're not currently using. We would use it as our auditorium, and it would accommodate, I think at that time it was around 270 people, so it's something we could grow into. And then we would be able to share their classroom space and their lunchroom space and utilize the playground and things like that. So we are currently pursuing that. We are having the document reviewed by our own counsel with someone who has more expertise than any of us here have, and hopefully we will have that document ready for their, is it the March 1st board meeting, Ryan? Is that the next board meeting, just to see how we can proceed along those lines. And given that, once the terms are worked out, then the plan would be to move forward where we would make a capital investment in remodeling this building that they're not using, and we would use it as our auditorium, and they would also have access to that for school functions as well. So that's kind of where we are. It is a delightfully informal lease. I've done commercial real estate leases, and we want to keep it that way. We don't want a 30 or 40 page document. They're very gracious to work with. So that's how we're proceeding. And I think that's it, unless there are other questions or comments. Yes. Great question. Glenn met with the gentleman who manages this facility, and as of right now, they do not have any offers. So we know that they had an offer last summer that we thought was going to expire around August or September, and I guess that expired and did not close. So they do have people who are in the area to try and keep it running, and then when we've had problems, like when we're on generator power, they're responsive. But the fact is, it could sell in 10 years or never, or it could sell next month. But the other reality is that we're outgrowing this space. And so, this, even with some modest expansion, is not something that could accommodate us as long as we've been here. That's one of the other reasons that we wanted to be good stewards and not just wait for them to say it's sold and they're going to turn into office buildings or something else, and we have a short time to leave. So we're very thankful to have the option to work with CHECA and to have that relationship that benefits us and hopefully benefits the school as well. Yes?
Was there anything specific that changed initially not moving forward with
CHECA? We had initial discussions and we were kind of waiting for their counsel to put together a document. And then while we were in that waiting period, the 4022 property came on the market. And I think we went to see it on Labor Day. And then, there were a number of months that were involved in that. And during that time frame, towards the end of that time frame, CHECA gave us their document. So I think that just the idea of having our own place and having the auditorium that was already there and then knowing we would need to do some expansion reasonably within our financial capabilities made that something compelling to look at. And we did due diligence, and we decided prayerfully after a lot of wisdom and counsel that was not going to work. I mean, because ultimately, for those of you who were not here, we could not get clear title on the property, so which is pretty basic if you're buying land. It's much more complicated than that, but. So, and then by that time, we were kind of in the holiday period, and then we discussed it as elders and deacons in January and said, let's press forward. Okay? Other questions or comments? Okay. Anything else?
Leadership holding.
Good. This is also the time that we encourage you to look out amongst our membership, and if there are men who, when you look at the qualifications in Timothy and Titus, that you think could be biblically qualified as well as you see signs of those qualifications, that they are serving, that they are teaching, that they are ministering, that they are deaconing, then please send those in via email to Pastor Stephen. And oh, we are?
Yeah.
Okay, when? Today? Oh, okay. Great. So, okay.
Because I think constitutionally that's what's required.
Okay. All right. So rather than email, we will do legacy paper. And if you have someone in mind, just write it on a piece of paper and tear off part of this long budget sheet and give it to Pastor Stephen.
No, not for polling, because it's not a vote, it's just a recommendation. And please put your family name on there so I can follow up with people and find out. Yeah, so put your name and then the name of the man or men and what you think you may see in them as far as an elder or a deacon.
Good.
You can put it on the pulpit, I'll collect them when we're done.
Good reminder, thank you. Deacon Ben or any of the other deacons or Eric, anything else we missed? Okay, sorry? Glenn? Okay.
And with the leadership polling, even if you turned it in previous years, just this is kind of starting fresh, so if you say, well, I've said this guy's name to you for 3 years and you haven't done anything about it, go ahead and turn it in again. Because we're looking for a groundswell of recognition among the church.
Yeah, and some of the time people are recommended and that particular person, it's just not the right time for them where they are in life or family or whatever. I mean, that they just aren't available at that point in time, but doesn't mean not to continue to recommend. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for staying. And I will close this in prayer. If you have any other questions or comments, please let us know. We are delighted just to look at this sheet with the micro print to see what the Lord has done. Not so much financially, but just to see the opportunities that He has given us through the years, that we've been able to plant other churches, that we've been able to support missionaries, that we've been able to have Pastor Stephen fully supported from the beginning. God has just been so gracious to this body, and we want to be good stewards of the souls that are here, as well as the financial resources that He gives us. So let's pray. Lord, we come before You thanking You for Your goodness to us in Christ. Thanking You for the ministries of the Word. Thanking You for hearing our prayers. Thanking You for the work of the kingdom that is occurring around the world and that is occurring in this place. It is purely by Your grace that we are here. You have been so kind, Lord. You've been so merciful. And we praise You and thank You for that. We pray You would give us unity during this time of transition with community groups, that You would help us to be mindful of the needs among us, that we would be hospitable to strangers and to visitors, that You would continue to pour out Your Spirit upon the people in this very place. Lord, we ask for wisdom on places to meet and expansions and JECA. And You have, again, as Ben Ward mentioned, we have a mountain of Your grace to look back upon, of how You have planned, how You've gone before us, how You've provided for us at every turn. So may You help us to look to You in faith. May You help us to be diligent. May You help us to be good stewards. And Lord, we pray that we would all be laying up treasures in heaven. Thank you for this body. May you bless the remainder of this day. And we thank you for this time that we've had together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.